Hello, friend. My name is Lane Kennedy, and this is Your Intuition Knows. Thank you for joining me. This is a podcast about exploring life and slowing down from today's super connected, overcommitted busyness. In these episodes, I will show up and share practical tools, small inspirations, pieces of conversations, connection with others, and hope that just for today, if you take a moment, a time out, and breathe, that your life will change. Yep. One slow breath, one pause can change everything. I dare you to hang out with me. Let's change the world. Let's change your world one breath, one moment at a time. Welcome to the show. Let's get into it. Hello, friends. Welcome back. My name is Lane Kennedy, and this is yet another episode. And I'm really happy that you've come back to listen and to find out more about Yoga Nidra in this mini series that I've been doing with all of my wonderful Nidra sisters. And I have on with me today, Umaima, and she is another beautiful Yoga Nidra guide. Her spirit is so bright, and she's one, again, you know, these are the people that just melt in your heart. I don't know if you have somebody like that in your life or a crew of ladies, but if you don't, I want to invite you to kind of join in on these conversations and listen to us and then find us on Instagram, you know, and connect more deeply with us. So today we have Umaima. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Lane. It's such an honor to be here with you. Thank you for having me on.
Yay! So we're going to like get right into the juice of it.
Let's.
Because that's kind of like how I roll. And I think this is such an interesting practice. And I find that what I've learned is that there are no mistakes and that we don't find this practice by mistake.
Absolutely not.
Right. So let's go back in time for a minute to how you found this magical practice of Yoga Nidra.
That's such a wonderful story for me. Well, Yoga Nidra started for me back in October of last year, October 2018. Mm-hmm. I was offered the chance to go to Wanderlust Wellspring here in Palm Springs. And I, as I was preparing for my journey through the festival, I started looking at the different courses that are offered and different spiritual talks that were there. And one of them just caught my eye, which was a talk with Jana Romer about Yoga Nidra, followed by a practice of Yoga Nidra. And at the time, I had no idea what Yoga Nidra was. So I thought, okay, well, I'm just going to go check it out. It would seem a little nerdy, and I liked the fact that it talked about being laying down in a meditation. I thought, okay, well, I'm going to go check it out. I walked into that room that day, and I saw Jenna sitting there, and just in her grace and power, and started talking, and everything that came out of her mouth that day just seemed so aligned with what I needed at the time. So I learned about the brain part and how it works. I learned about all the basics, basically, of Yoga Nidra. And then from there, went into the practice and laid down and received. And that day just changed my life, literally. I had been going through some personal issues and a lot of deep wounds that were taking a long time and a lot of energy from my end to heal. Mm-hmm. And the practice just opened up a door for me that I didn't know even existed. And from that day forward, I thought, well, this is it. I need to do more of this. This makes me feel good. And it takes me to places that I thought were not even accessible anymore. And so I started practicing every day from that point onward. And as soon as Jana offered her her training, I automatically signed up because it was just the right thing for me to do. So yeah, I guess I showed up for Yoga Nidra in a very selfish way, and I realized that it helped me so much that it is impossible for me to just keep it to myself, that this needs to be shared with the rest of the world.
So I like that you said that you showed up for it, but I want to even go further back. Mm-hmm. Because the listeners of the show have no idea about this, right? They hear me talk about it. They've been listening to other episodes, but each one of us has this story. And there's something I think that draws us to the practice. Mm. So I want you to get into like what drew you to the practice. You were at Wonderlust, for God's sake. Mm-hmm. What drew you to Wonderlust?
What drew me to Wonderlust?
Like, are you a yogi? Are you like a yoga teacher? Are you like, you know, what's your story?
I'm not a yoga teacher. And I don't know that I will ever teach yoga. Right. But I am a yogi. I've been practicing yoga for a while, and I've been diving into meditation and spiritual practices in a way for a few years. And the reason I guess that I got here is I was born and raised in Morocco. I was brought up as a Muslim. So spirituality has always been a part of my path and who I am. But in a way, leading the path as a Muslim just didn't really work for me anymore. It just didn't fit. Mm-hmm. And it was a really big hustle for me to find a path back to spirituality without having to be in the religion. Mm-hmm. Especially that, you know, there's a lot of stigma around being brought up as a Muslim and then not practicing the religion anymore. And I have nothing against religions in general, and especially not Islam, because at its core there's a lot of beautiful practices and a lot of beautiful things that bring people together, really, which is the reason behind spirituality for me, is that to increase that human connection and the connection to source. Yes. It's just that I got to a point where it wasn't for me. I needed to find a different path. So I started looking into a more esoteric path, and yoga showed up as a practice that will bring me into my body and bring me into that deep connection with source and with myself. Mm-hmm. And obviously in yoga, meditation, yoga for me has always been, and it still is, a moving meditation. And from yoga, I always did, you know, meditation, just seated meditation usually, which was how I started. But then when I found out about Yoga Nidra, it was that idea of not only dropping in to listen in that mindfulness and meditation that is the seated practice, but also the complete surrender that comes with the fact that you're completely laying down. There's no effort. There's nothing that the body needs to do to keep me going. I don't have to think about the fact that my back is hurting or that my legs are tight. It's just a complete sweet surrender. And Jana used the word that resonated with me a lot, and it's the fact that it's a feminine side of the meditation practice. It's that complete surrender and flowing into the arms of Mama Gaia and just really listening, not only to the chatter in the mind, but really listening to every single part of the body and just what it is.
So are you practicing every day? Umaima, where'd you go? Are you there?
And
are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you still hear me?
There you are. So are you practicing every day? Do you practice every day?
Absolutely. That's the one thing that I will not give up. I practice every morning at least. And that's if I don't do anything else, it's at least every morning. And then I go to bed on a nidra every night as well.
Okay. Okay. So let's just stop right there for a minute. Okay. Wait a minute. So I am not a go to bed with any kind of noise.
Like, I'm just not that way. Okay. And, you know, there's a bunch of nidra people out there that do specific nidras just for sleep, you know. Jennifer Piercy is one of them, and she has a beautiful, beautiful nidras. And I, and one of my girlfriends, like, you gotta listen to her. And I was like, no, I'm not into it. And so, you know, we have this puppy and my sleep schedule has been off. So I've been, you know, doing double nidras in the morning and like back to back, I'll do like 2 hours. And I feel like $1 million bucks, right? Like I'm good. So then I did my first nidra at night last night.
Oh.
And let me tell you.
How did you wake up?
I was like in a different world. I went to bed. It was like a different experience. And I was like, oh no. Now I'm like, oh my God. And I use Jennifer Piercy. So it was really a great, I don't know. It was just a really great experience. And nidras anytime, any place. I'll do it in my car when I'm waiting for my kid, you know, when he's doing his tutoring.
Yes.
I joke about this. Do you have anything set up specifically? You know, I know that the Daring to Rest camp has a whole like nest thing that you create. Do you do that as well? Or do you just like roll and go?
I'm not sure I'm following. What do you mean?
Well, Daring to Rest is another.
I know about the program. Yeah.
So they create like this whole rest cave.
Oh.
Right. And I love this idea too. Right. I don't do that. Some people have a whole sanctuary in their house or they have space, they, you know, like there's other practitioners that set up a whole thing.
Oh, I see.
Right. Do you do that? Or do you just like, I don't know.
Well, I think I kind of do both.
Okay.
I do have a space in my home where I practice yoga and I do my movement, and I also meditate and journal. That's my kind of my little place where I do everything. I paint sometimes too, and so it depends of that's kind of my space in my home. But then at the same time, I honestly don't think that I need anything specific to be able to drop into a nidra. Like I said, I can do it in my car.
Right.
I can do it on a plane. I can do it in a car. It doesn't really matter where I'm at. All I need is a pair of headphones in my ears and just something to put on top of my eyes. And sometimes I don't even need that. It's just, I think the practice has so much potency to it and can bring so much to our lives that we shouldn't really restrict ourselves to, oh, we need to do it in a specific environment or else I can't do it. And I think as much as I honor the fact that ritual is really an important thing to have in our lives, and especially as women, we need more ritual and we need to go back to that ritualistic life because it brings so much and it creates community as well. But I think it's also important to just make sure that we are not restricting ourselves in the sense where, okay, well, I don't need to have a specific setting or a specific time to do this practice. Right. It's something that you can do anywhere, anytime. It doesn't matter. It will bring you some sort of benefit it will bring benefit to your life no matter where you do it, no matter how long, no matter it really. The parameters really don't matter. All that matters is that you start doing practice.
Right. Just start. Okay. So
doesn't matter where.
So let's talk about some of the benefits because again, you know, let's think about, you know, Sue who's listening and she really is like curious about this. So you said that you had a profound change, right? Your life changed that day at Wanderlust. And let's talk about some of the benefits as a result of doing the practice, you know, every day.
The benefits of the practice. There are so many of them.
If you could get specific, that's even better, right? Like absolutely. For me, I talk about like how my depression is gone. Like, see you later. Bye. Anxiety, nada.
Yeah. I can talk. I mean, depression and anxiety, that's obvious. Even for me, I will never say that my depression is completely gone, because, but then again, that's my own belief, where I think that once we've seen that dark side, we know where it is, and the brain can play games on us and take us there really fairly quickly. Mm. So to me, it was more of it's a tool and, dare I say, a weapon against that terrible part of life that could be the negativity and the part where you're like, okay, well, there's nothing else for me here to do. I can just stop. And it's really a tool for me to every day remember that there is a reason I'm on this earth, and there is a reason I'm here right now at this time, and there is a reason for me to live the life that I am living and I'm living right now, and there is a reason for me to be in contact with the people that I am in contact with. There is a reason for it all, and dropping in and listening and really taking the time to just listen to what the body and what the mind needs to say, it's just to me a constant reminder of the fact that everything that I've lived up until now, that depression, that suicidal thoughts, everything was exact. It happened exactly where it was supposed to happen for me to get where I'm at today. Mm-hmm. And it's basically getting to a point where I'm not really neglecting any of those parts, but just accepting everything that happened around me and accepting everything that comes through, whether it is positive or negative. It just, the practice gives me that possibility to stop at every moment and just think, okay, what is this situation here to teach me? What is it that I can learn from this? And how can I be gentle with myself and gentle with others in the way that I react and in the way that I respond to this? It's really bringing me down to that point zero of thinking, well, what's happening may be out of my control, but the way I respond to it is completely in my control. I control the way that I respond to everything that happens around me. So,
okay, I want you to get more granular.
Sure.
Because you know what? So I hear that it brings you greater clarity and focus, and that it's alleviated this kind of gloom, and it makes mm-hmm. you have greater possibilities. But now you're talking about response time. Mm-hmm. So let's get granular with that response time, because I think immediately I go to my son when I'm ready to blow my top, right? Mm-hmm. So how does it put space in that response time for you? Like, let's give a good, clear example so our listeners can really identify, you know, because she's out there hustling. Right? She's up to 9 to 5. She's got, you know, two kids or no kids, a boyfriend that she likes or a husband that she doesn't like, you know, like, like let's give her some great examples of how this is really working in your life.
Mm. Well, two examples come to mind.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give both. One example is the traditional mother-daughter relationship that can be sometimes quite hectic. I know mine is a little challenging. And I think of how I would react to my mother saying something that I don't like. Or I'm going to give you a simple example. Yeah. As for example, the practice that I'm doing or the path that I'm taking in my life is something that my parents don't really understand. My mother especially, she doesn't really understand how I could leave an engineering path, because that's what I studied in college, and I'm an engineer, and I have a position as a service manager, and how I can leave that life to redirect myself onto something that is more or kind of wooey in her mind.
Right. Okay.
Exactly.
This is so good.
So in her mind, this is a transition that just doesn't make sense. It's
right.
It's impossible. Why would you do something like this? Mm-hmm. And so a while ago, a few months back, when she would criticize the way that I'm choosing to live my life, or the way that I'm choosing to transition, mm-hmm. that would create an initial response within me, and a response of anger, and a response of, mm-hmm. well, you don't understand me, you've never understood me, and how could you just judge me? You don't even know what I'm doing. Right. And so that's the automatic response that used to happen before. Lately, it's been more, and this is again coming with that consistent daily practice, it's okay, well, how can I sit with myself for a minute before I react and before I take what she's telling me very personally and take it as an attack to myself, and rather look at her and say, okay, mom, I understand that you don't really know anything about this world. How about you let me explain to you what my world is? Well, how about you let me initiate you to my world so you can just get a sense of what it is?
Yeah.
But then again, don't have any expectations, because initiating her to my world and letting her feel the benefit of the practice, which she felt, and I'm just going to say that because I gave her practices and she's been doing them and fallen asleep while she's an eternal insomniac. She's always been an insomniac. Mm. And she's been using the practice to fall asleep, which to me was like, okay, this is great. She's actually open to this.
Mm.
But not have any expectation of her actually understanding where I'm going with my life. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. that's not for her. It's as long as I have my own validation coming from myself, I don't need my mother to validate where I'm going. Mm-hmm. But I need to be open and actually open to sharing what I've learned with her. Because even people who think that this is not for them, there is actual benefit, actual scientific benefit to the practice. So actually inviting people who are completely against or think that this is just a woo, mm-hmm. actually will bring more awareness to what the practice can do. So,
okay. So, okay, hang on for a second, because you said some really deep, rich stuff there. So first off, you mentioned another benefit. Hello, insomnia.
Oh, yes.
Boom. Bye-bye.
Okay. Oh, yes.
So I'm just going to say that out loud. But then this idea of, because relationships, okay, just let's face it. Relationships are hard.
Oh, yes.
Right? So and the relationship with your mom is, I mean, I don't have a relationship with my mother, so there's that.
Yeah.
They're just hard. And so having the practice give us the space to respond differently is everything, right?
Absolutely.
Like, oh, yeah. I talk about how this practice has saved my marriage. Like, I'm not divorced, right? Like, this is a miracle. And that's no joke. I mean, this is like, I love my husband because of this practice. You know, you love your mom because you love her more. Like, right? It changes us. Mm-hmm. Oh, such a good example. Okay, one more.
One more. Well, let's talk about the husbands, because I mean, that's just so universal, right?
Yes, yes.
And I love my husband to death. He's
and if it's not a husband, it's a boyfriend or a partner. Okay,
so let's just put it that way. Too. It's whoever you're sharing your life with. It doesn't matter who it is. my husband is the most amazing person that I could have ever dreamed of being with, and I love him to death, and he's been my savior. He's the one who pushed me to actually look deep into myself and actually start loving myself the way that I do today. And that's so I owe him a lot in that sense. But then again, we're human beings, and sometimes we just get on each other's nerves, and it happens. So the practice, the way it changed my relationship with my husband. Well, first of all, I make him go to bed on a nidra every day, and that's great. And it's lately he's been requesting it more than ever, so that's great. It means it's working. And so whenever we get into an argument, before, again, it was, oh, well, how can you do this to me? That me. Oh, I'm the victim here. You're doing this, so you're doing this to me. Mm-hmm. What the practice helped me realize is also that, well, you know, if somebody does something, it's not necessarily because of you. It could be that it has everything to do with the way they are at in their life at that time. or at that specific time in the day. Yes. And it has nothing to do with you, but it's just that the fact that they reacted in a certain way that displeased you made you think that it was because of you. So what I've been doing lately is if we get into an argument, which happens, I just take the time to look at the situation and say, okay, well, before I overreact and start yelling and fuel this argument more, how about I just take the time to just listen? What is he really saying? Is what he, the things that he's saying, are they really directed at me? Right. Or is this coming from a deeper point? How can I support this man in a way that honors our relationship and in a way that will actually alleviate the argument rather than fuel it? Mm-hmm. So, and in both examples, you can see it's just really the matter of stopping, take a breath, and just yes. think about it for a minute before you react. Just think. Or okay. just listen.
Okay, you just nailed it. Like the space.
The space
that we have yes. in our brain, right? And if we had more time, we could go into like how the brain is functioning, right? We have, we get out of that beta brain, mm-hmm. right? We're dropped out of it, mm-hmm. which is such a gift because yes. we live in such a society where everybody's, you know, the normal is high beta, which is deadly. Oh my God. Okay. So how about give our listeners a tip? How about there?
Don't wait. Start where you are. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter which part of your journey you're on at this point. Just give this practice a chance and just start. There are free practices on Insight Timer. There are free practices on YouTube. This practice is available to everyone. Yeah, again, I guess reach out to people who have been through training, who know that how much the practice is potent and who can tell you more about it. Reach out. And I know that I speak for all our Nidra sisters when I say this. We are so happy to share mm-hmm. and to talk about it and to initiate more people to it. It's my embodied movement teacher. At the end of my training told me a word that just resonated so much. She said, now go activate more women.
Yes.
And I thought this was just, yeah, it's exactly, that's what it is. And I'm going to extend that, not just women, but everybody, children, grandparents, men, it really doesn't matter who you are. This practice has something to offer you. So just give it a chance.
Oh my God, I love that so much. Umaima, I love that. Activate. Mm-hmm. That yeah. is it.
Yes. And as we activate more people and we activate each other and we rise together, that's what it is. We're rising. That's what we are here to do on this plane. It's to raise the consciousness of this planet. And we can't do it alone. Everybody has to put their effort into it so that we can actually achieve this.
Yeah. I mean, we have major global climate problems here.
Oh, so, yeah.
We need to like come together. And this is just another way to rise together, mm-hmm. right? Activate the consciousness because we have some serious issues in this world.
Oh, yes.
Serious issues are not going to get worked out if we're all trying to like be separate.
Yeah.
So this idea of activating each one of us is like, oh, yes.
It's important. And, you know, I know that there is that shift, and we were talking about this, you and I, earlier. It's the shift that we can all feel, that there's something about this time that we are in that is changing. Yeah. And we can call it the fact that we're going back into a more harmonious relationship between the feminine and the masculine, or you can call it whatever you want, but it's really just the time where we're all realizing that we are it. We are the people that we've been waiting for so long. We are the people who can change everything about the way that we lead our lives. And it's time. It's time to just wake up to our own potential and to help each other wake up to our own potential, because the competitiveness that has been ruling this world for so long has to stop.
Yeah.
It has to be bygones, and we have to move forward with harmony and move forward with helping each other and helping each other rise, because that's the only way forward.
You can preach.
Yes.
Oh my God. Okay, you guys. So we're coming to a close here, and I want to make sure, Umaima, you know, if people are down listening in Palm Desert, or where are you practicing, and how can people get a hold of you?
Well, I'm currently building a website so that I can have more of my information available for everyone. Mm-hmm. But currently you can reach me on Instagram at Umaima Rose, OumaymaRose. And then I offer private classes. I also am working with a few studios around the area to offer a journey that's a little bit different. I'm open, obviously, to offering just the nidras, but then right now I'm working on a kind of a special offering, which is a mix of embodied movement and yoga nidra. So it's basically, instead of a yoga class plus a nidra, it's a class of embodied movement, which is very accessible to everyone, and I adapt the classes depending on the people who show up. And then from there, we go into a nidra, which is, it's a really juicy practice. So come see me, reach out, and then let's, yes.
I wish I lived down there.
Well, maybe we can do a Costa Rica
collab. Yes, to Costa Rica.
Yes.
Oh my Let's God, all, with Brittany.
All the sisters. Yes. We can get all our sisters down to Costa Rica, and we can have a retreat, and we can all offer each other beautiful practices.
That's right. Yes. Oh my God. What a great, story and conversation. I'm so grateful that you came on the show, and you're a Nidra sister with me.
And thank you, Lane.
It's just been an honor to hear more about the journey and to share it. Thank you for being on the show with me today.
Thank you, Lane. It's been a pleasure. And I know this conversation could have gone so much longer. So thank you for having me. And I'm so proud of everything that you're doing. And you're an inspiration to all of us. So keep on rocking, sister.
Thank you. All right, ladies, another episode. Boom. Just like that. I hope you go check out what Umaima's doing over on Instagram. And if you're down there, make sure you hit her up for one of these embodied movement classes. And remember, you can grab a free yoga nidra practice over on my site at lanekennedy.com, free YN practice. Get started. Just, you know, listen to what Umaima said. Don't wait anymore. Just get started right now. I hope you have a great moment. And may this moment give you something juicy, something so light and bright that fills you up, so you can be the best you can be. Until next time, my friend, take good care. Thank you, my friend. Thank you for listening. Make sure to grab that free yoga nidra practice over at lanekennedy.com/free YN practice. Okay, take good care.